This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. In remembrance of the Dust Bowl, there was a massive dust storm that just made its way from Colorado through southeast Kansas, reaching all the way to the Gulf. When it is dry and there's wind, you get dirt moving. There's a lot of wind. At least we now have the good sense not to plow up the prairie. This kind of dust storm cannot be good for winter wheat. Remember Dr. Elwin Taylor's forecast for a 1930s-like drought during this decade. When I see all of the pattern tiling that has been done as a result of recent wet years, it just makes sense that the next few years it will not be needed. That is how life works. Argentina is very dry while southern Brazil got some rain. Then the Mato Grosso catches a monsoon before turning dry again. It is not the common La Nina, as Brazil is much drier than in typical La Nina years. The 90-day SOI at 12.72 is still climbing. That is well above the positive 7 SOI needed to signal La Nina. It was Dr. Elwin Taylor that set the SOI benchmark for El Nino-La Nina in the ENSO. The International Energy Agency cut its forecast of oil demand this quarter by 600,000 barrels per day, while traders continue to look past that. Global producers continue to moderate production. Funds have adopted a buy commodities attitude that is shrinking interest in selling. Ethanol has surged to new highs, maintaining a dime premium to unleaded gas. The ethanol industry has no fingernails left as it nervously watches the clock run out on the Trump administration as the oil industry shrills running EPA execute their last acts of sabotage against the RFS. Governors requested RFS waivers and RFS volumes were postponed. Suddenly, rules followed by the agency to define regulation meant nothing to them in the final hours. Adjudication would follow. The new crop corn and soybean ratio ended last week at 2.6. The gurus say that anything over 2.5 shows a strong preference for soybeans. Last year, despite an excellent start with full subsoil moisture reserves, corn on corn ran out of gas the worst. I remember saying that the Pro Farmer Crop Tour was trying to catch a falling knife, and that crop condition was deteriorating so quickly. USDA crop condition ratings did not catch the degree of the collapse. The 3.8 bushel per acre loss in the annual crop report corn yield reflects just how badly the crop ran out of gas with no moisture to fill and mature properly. So we are likely going to get a very dry start to the growing season in the western Corn Belt and Plains states that after last year's bad experience with corn on corn, there'll be much less of it and more corn-soybean rotation. The USDA baseline forecast 90 million acres of corn, down 1 million from last year, and 89 million soybean acres, up from 82.3 million harvested last year. The second round of PPP is now open. The first round was based on Schedule F income for farm eligibility. That means that farmers with losses were not eligible, which made no sense. This time it takes an account with a sharp pencil. In order for eligibility for farmers in round two, it is based on a quarterly comparison of year-to-year gross sales. That may mean that farmers who were not eligible for the first round may be eligible for this one. You have to have a quarter in which the sales proceeds in 2020 were reduced by 25% from 2019. There are some nuances if you participated in the first round. It may be worth a conversation with your accountant and banker. On livestock, beef packers appear to have market leverage in both directions, pushing both producers and retailers. In the pork industry, packers own half the hogs and do not benefit as much from depressed hog prices when they don't have as much leverage over retailers as beef packers do. The wholesale retail spread favors retailers in the pork market. CME Group economists say that the retail versus wholesale pork price diverged starting in about 2015 to where consumers pay more and wholesale pork margins narrowed. Only the portion of pork that makes it the full length of the supply chain all the way to consumers makes the money. The labor shortage limits pork processing. That is also why packers like to export, because they directly sell into the export market. Hog producers are so far removed from getting the benefit of high retail pork prices for their hogs that it hurts. Hogs are cheap. I would not call pork a retail expensive, but according to CME economists, that is where the margin is. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.